Jesus said she would be instantly healed of three terminal diseases. Next, on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. What happens if you have a little girl and the doctor says, your daughter has 18 months to live? That's it. Patty, that's what they told your mother.
Yes.
What was wrong with you?
I was born with a hole in my heart, and I later developed the blood disease and a lung disease, but initially it was the hole in the heart that the doctor said, I cannot live more than 18 months.
So there was a crisis, and your mother was bringing you to the doctor. What did the doctor say when she called?
The doctor said, there's nothing I can do for your daughter. She called again, and the nurse answered and said, the doctor said if you call again to give you the coroner's phone number.
That's not real good bedside manners.
No, it doesn't give you any hope at all.
Did your mother have hope for you?
Yeah, she did. She had two sons, and she wanted a baby girl, and so she really prayed, expecting God to give her a strong, healthy baby girl. But when I was born, the doctor came into the room and told her that I had this hole in my heart. In those days, they didn't do surgery on the heart as they do now. So there was no hope given. But she trusted in the Lord, and she prayed, and she never gave up.
So what happened with you?
Well, by the time I was 18 months old, we lived in the country. And my father was away with a car, and I had gone into a series of convulsions. My mother, as I said, called the doctor, and the doctor said, there's no hope, there's nothing I can do. So she wrapped me up and began to walk to town to take me to the hospital. But when she crossed a bridge, I went into a deep, deep convulsion. So she went under the bridge, unwrapped me, placed me in the water, and dedicated my life to the Lord. Wrapped me up and took me home, trusting that He was going to make a difference.
But she was on, with the convulsions, she was on the way to the doctor because you were probably dying.
Yes.
And you're telling me she had enough faith to just take you home?
Yes, she did. Because he said he couldn't do anything anyway.
Hmm.
But she's a woman who would not give up.
So what happened next?
Well, I got better. I didn't get healed. I got better. And later on, I got worse. And by the time I was 9 years old, I couldn't run and play like the other children. But I wanted to be a ballerina when I grew up.
You could run and play, and you wanted to be a ballerina. That doesn't compute, Patty.
That's a child thinking for you.
Okay.
As a little girl thinketh, so she believes. So I read in the paper, I could read quite well at that age, I read that they were going to give a benefit for crippled children down at the Roxy Theater, not too far from the house, and they were having interviews. So I put my little shoes in a little brown bag, and I snuck out of the house, Sid. And I went down and tried out. When I say try out, I put my shoes on, and I did this little ballerina pose, and they said, you've got it.
You didn't even have to dance.
I didn't
just
have
a little
to.
Pose.
I couldn't really dance. But they said I had it. So I went home, and I told my mother, and she said, oh, honey, what have you done? Of course you can't do this. But, you know, being a child, I begged and begged. So finally she said, I had three doctors. I had a pediatrician and two heart specialists. She said, all right, I'll take you to your doctors and see what they say. So she took me to the pediatrician, and he said, no way, no way, Mrs. Lincoln. That was my mother's, my maiden name. And she took me to the first heart specialist, and he said, this is impossible. Her heart is ready, almost ready to explode. So keep begging. I just kept begging and nagging mother. So she took me to the final one, and he said, she needs to go into isolation. He said, she's very bad. Her heart is extremely bad. And besides the lungs and the blood. But my mother said, you know, this means so much to her. Would you let her do this one thing? He said, if I say yes, it'll be the last time her feet touch the floor. And you are to carry her from that place to the hospital and put her in, and she will be put in isolation. My mother, who was a nurse, said, doctor, I can take better care of my daughter at home, since there's nothing that can be done medically for her anyway.
Did she let you dance?
Yes.
I'm amazed she did. I mean, she was a nurse.
You would think she had this mother's heart, Sid, you know, and this was a little dream. I didn't have much to look forward to. So she let me do it on that night. As a matter of fact, my father carried me from the car down the aisle behind the curtain. And when it was my turn to come on stage, I came out. I did my little dance. She had made me a little white satin tutu.
A satin what?
Tutu.
Tutu, okay.
And
what's a tutu?
Well, if you go to the ballet, you'll see.
Okay.
It's a little white thing with a spread tutu.
Obviously.
Just take my word for it. And a little crown.
So you went with your tutu and your crown.
Yes, and I went out on the stage, and I did my little stance and a few steps. And then it was somebody else's turn, and then I just went off behind the curtain, and my father was there. He had this full-length raccoon coat. Remember those? Well, you probably don't.
No, but I've seen pictures.
Yes, and he wrapped me up in this raccoon coat, carried me down the aisle into a warmed, heated car, and drove me home. And I was put in isolation. And my mother had reserved a room on the main floor, where there was a porch. People could come and look in the window and see me in bed. And as time went on, my body began to deplete, and I became weaker and weaker, and my skin turned gray. But...
Patty, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. She has an amazing supernatural visitation. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with Patty Perrier. What happens when you have three terminal diseases? You're sent to the hospital, 9 years old?
Yes.
At that time, sent to the hospital and to die. I mean, that's why you're sent to the hospital. And one night, Patty had something very amazing happen to her. Describe it.
I was flat on my back. I couldn't sit up at this time. I was so weak. My mother had come in 5 times a day just to give me little bites of food. I was so weak. And one night, it was very late, and Jesus appeared at the foot of my bed. And he said, Patty, I want you to tell your mother in the morning you're going to be all right. And He was radiant. It was such an experience.
When you say he was radiant, you could see like light coming out of him?
Like light emitting from his face, from his body.
What did his face look like?
Glorious. I mean, how can you explain and how can you describe someone who is totally, totally the Lord?
Did you believe him? Did you believe that you would be well in the morning?
Yes, because the Spirit of Truth is in him. What he says, you know, is a fact. And there was that love emitting from his eyes. There was truth. There was compassion. And I almost had a feeling that he was experiencing my mother's prayer. He was there to answer my mother's prayers.
Now, you didn't know it at the time, but your older brother just happened to be looking in the door when this happened?
Yes, I was in isolation, and no one was allowed to come into the room. Not even my father was allowed to come into the room for a year. Only my mother and the doctors. The door was open a wee bit that night. And Sid, I didn't know this until just a few years ago when I went to my brother and we were going over old times and I said, do you remember that year I was in the hospital or I was in bed and tears began to run down his face. And I said, you remember me telling you how Jesus appeared to me? And he said, I know. I was peeking through the door, and I saw Jesus at the foot of your bed. And he said, I thought he had come to take you to heaven.
Hmm. Did you tell anyone what Jesus said to you before you were healed?
I was healed the very next morning.
I mean, but between that time and the next morning, did you tell anyone?
No.
Tell me, did you actually sleep after he came there?
Yes, because where the presence of Jesus is, there's such peace. And
You know what, Patty?
What?
I feel that peace now. Yeah. Do you feel that peace now? Do you feel that peace now? I really do. So the next morning, you woke up. First thing that happened.
I sat up. I could not sit up before. And I turned around and
Did you like will to sit up or you just sat up instinctively?
Spontaneously, I woke up and sat up. And I turned to the edge of the bed and I began to kick my legs and my feet and my mother came in the room. And she said, Patty, what has happened? She knew I couldn't sit up. I had no strength. And instead of being gray, she said, your cheeks are pink and you have color in your face. And I said, Mother, Mommy, Jesus appeared to me last night. And he said, to tell you, Mother, I'm going to be all right. She could see the miraculous change. She knew I was going to be all right from what she was looking at.
What did the doctors have to say?
They couldn't believe it. They said, it's a miracle.
A lot of doctors don't like to use that phrase. Did they really say it was a miracle?
One doctor did. I don't remember what the other two said because she only took me back to one doctor.
And what did this one doctor say?
He said, this is it's amazing. It's incredible. This doesn't happen. It couldn't happen. It's a miracle.
Now, you've gone on to believe God for anything.
Yes.
As a result of that.
Yes.
Did you hear what the doctor said? This can't happen. But God says all things are possible. And I really believe waves of increase of faith for the miraculous are going on inside of you right now. And you feel God's love? That's what it is. Maybe you didn't know what it was. It's God's love. It's just pouring. It's almost like a river. It's just pouring into you right now. You feel it? It's so wonderful, God's love. It's so pure. It's so clean. It's so priceless. He does love you. We're going to be back in just a moment. And I am fully expecting the miraculous to suddenly take place in your life. Don't go away. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Patty Perrier. Before I go back to Patty, and I really believe there's going to be such an outpouring of God's love. That's what it is, an outpouring of God's love. But let's go to the control room. Janie, who's our guest next week?
Sid, you'll be interviewing Ronald Solly. He's a man from Uganda, and he has seen very unusual miracles. One is a favorite of mine, is he prayed for a woman who wanted to grow, and she grew 5 inches, and she outgrew her clothes.
Now, why is that a favorite of yours, Janie?
Because I'm 5 foot and a half an inch, but maybe next week I'll be taller.
Oh, it's really going to be a supernatural show next week. Thank you, Janie. Now, Patty, something that intrigues me no end is I have studied men and women of God that have been used to cause God's presence to go throughout entire cities or entire countries. And there was a man by the name of Tommy Hicks who went to Argentina and literally didn't even know the name of the president of Argentina, but God gave him the name, miracles happened, and tremendous move of God's presence throughout that whole country. And you read about Tommy, and yes, you wanted to meet him. So what happened?
So after reading his book, I was so inspired, and I just wanted to get more books and share them with others of the incredible things that happened through this man. And so I had called the man who gave me the book, and I said, where can I get more of these? He said, well, I'll give you Tommy Hicks' phone number. Why don't you call him and ask for some? I thought, how could I do this? Call such a great man of God and ask for it. He doesn't know me, or you know, I just felt so insignificant in comparison to a mighty man of God like this. So he gave me his phone number. So I said, Lord, please, how can I call him? And I felt the Spirit of God come on me very strong, and the gift of prophecy began to work through me, and I prophetically wrote down what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me to tell this man of God.
Can I ask you a personal question? Well, I can ask it.
Yes, you could.
What did God tell you to say to Tommy Hicks?
Well, it was very personal. There were words in there I didn't even understand. Hmm. And I really can't share it. I can't even remember all of it.
Okay, so you called him and
I
gave him that word.
And when I gave him this word, I said, I'm really calling because I want to secure more of your books to share with others. And I said, by the way, I received this message for you. I read it to him, and he said, how soon can you get over here? Which I was absolutely amazed. So he gave me his address. I called my brother Paul to accompany me, and so we both went over to his apartment. And when he asked us to come in, he had this favorite big black leather chair that he used to sit in. He just said, come on in. There was a screen door, so we just came in the screen door, and we shook hands, met him, and sat down on the couch beside him. But the presence of God was so upon this man, it was like a haze around him. And we could distinguish. He had on a black suit, and he had gray-white hair, so we could see him. I could see his eyes, but there wasn't a deep clarity because there was this cloud around him.
Now, you had your brother with you.
Oh, yes.
Did he see the same thing?
He saw the same thing.
It was sort of like just a cloud, a haze.
Haze, yes.
And so the point where you couldn't even see clearly his features.
That's right. That's
what was that haze?
That haze was the Spirit of God.
What did you feel when you were there?
When I stepped in, there was a holiness in that room of the presence of God. It's almost you were in awe that you were coming into this dimension.
Patty, right at this moment, there is such a presence of God on this set. I would like you to look into the camera and pray for people to experience this same holiness of God. Would you do that right now?
Yes. For all of those looking into this camera right now, who want to experience the presence and the love of God that is beyond understanding. It is so glorious, you cannot understand with your human mind. But within all of us, there's a desire to meet the living God, to have more of the Lord flowing into your life. The presence that will fill every void in your life, fill every longing of your heart. It's beyond anything this world can give. So I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes right now and put yourself into that position and feel that you're before the living God. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit will come upon all those who are looking into this television set. I pray that your Holy Spirit will penetrate them and that you will flood them with the love of God, that you will pour into them such an outpouring of your love beyond anything they've ever known. Bring them into that divine presence of God, of holiness. Blot everything else out except the presence, the love of our God. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the love of God, the presence of God, without holiness, you cannot see God. And there's none righteous. No, not one. We're all separated from God. But that's why God sent the Messiah to die in our place. His blood atones and washes away all of our sins. As the Jewish prophet Jeremiah said, I will remember your sins no more. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, say it out loud. Jesus, I'm sorry I've sinned, and I believe that you died for my sins. And Jeremiah said two things will happen. One, God will remember your sins no more, and two, you will know God for yourself. Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Oh God, I pray that everyone watching would know you right now. Not know about you. Not just the God of tradition. Not just the God of religion. But intimacy. That's what your heart is craving. That's what you've been looking for. You've been feeling there's something missing. That something isn't something, it's someone. He's a person and he's alive and he cares for you and he loves you and he's here right now penetrating you with waves of love. Say, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, show me Jesus. I want to know him. I want to know him for myself. It's fine someone else knows him. I want to know him for myself. Seek him. The day that you seek him with all your heart, in that day, he will be found.